إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، returning إخوان back to our reading from the book of الإمام صديق حسن خان. The book, as we mentioned, that was entitled Husn al-Uswa Bima Thabata Min Allah wa Rasulihi fi al-Niswa. The book revolves around the ahkam of the rulings related to women. And as we mentioned, Ikhwan, it is not only dealing with and discussing the ahkam or rulings specifically related to women, rather it also discusses affairs of the women generally. Even though some of those issues may not necessarily have a hukum or action based upon them. But he mentions benefits related to the affair of women, as we're going to see in this session today, inshallah. And so, as we mentioned, he categorizes the book into two halves. One half of the book, he discusses within it issues connected to the ayat in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He begins from the first surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, and works through the Quran and stops at every verse that has anything remotely related or connected to women and discusses them in their place. In the second half of the book, he gathers within it a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam related again to the affairs of women, and he mentions the hadith after hadith after hadith, all of those hadith connected to the issues of women, having women mentioned within them, and thus they are of great benefit and are apt to be placed within a book of this nature. In the last session, we discussed the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, or that which is related to al-Ikhwa, to the statement of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in addressing Adam, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjika al-Jannah. Ya Adam, O Adam, dwell you and your zawj in Jannah. And we discussed something from that which was mentioned concerning the affair of Adam being created and then Allah Azza wa Jal creating his spouse, Hawa, and the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the two of them to dwell in Jannah. And the Imam, he moves on to a bab ma nazala fi dhabh al-abna wa istihya' al-nisa. This is the chapter connected or related to the slaughtering of the abna, slaughtering of the children, and that is the relation to boy children, males, and leaving the women. And that, no doubt, is a reference to the following statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 49: يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla when he addresses Bani Israel. And that, Ikhwani, is an address that was in first and foremost reproach of them, and secondly a tadkir for them and a reminder for them that Allah Azza wa Jal, from the beginning or from the earlier verses, the earlier ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. O Bani Israel, remember the favors that I have blessed and bestowed upon you, and that I gave you virtue, or that I preferred you over the alameen, over all of the people of the world, the peoples of the world. And Allah, no doubt, selected and chose the children of Israel as the chosen people they were. The chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something that is established. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that and reiterates that fact in this verse. Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. And remember the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon you, and that I preferred you and gave you a position over the rest of the alameen. And that then, no doubt, was established for Bani Israel. But Ikhwan, we do not believe that Bani Israel are the chosen people regardless of what they do. We do not believe that. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned when he addressed Ibrahim, but Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. He said, verily, I am going to make you an imam for the people. قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. But Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that he said, I'm going to make you an imam for the people. He said, what about my ذُرِّيَّة? And what about my offspring? Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned a principle. لَا يَنَالُ أَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. That my covenant will not encompass the ظَالِمِينَ. My covenant will not encompass the ظَالِمِينَ. Any those who have transgressed and those who are oppressive. That my covenant does not encompass them. Thus, أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةِ Bani Israel, na'am, Allah Azza wa Jalla gave them virtue over the rest of the people once upon a time, at one stage. But when they became oppressive, when they transgressed the boundaries of Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah Azza wa Jal removed and stripped that virtue from them. And in fact, Ikhwan, they earned the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah addresses them in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. And a number, Ikhwan, of statements Allah Azza wa Jal reminds them of, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise admonishes them for. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَقْضُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. You command the people with good and forget yourselves. And while you read the book, then when you have no sense. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla from the beginning of those verses mentioned, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِيَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونِ. Allah mentioned, O Bani Israel, remember my blessings, the blessings that I bestowed upon you, and carry out and fulfill my covenant. And I will fulfill my covenant with you. And then fear me. وَعَمِنُوا بِمَا أَنْزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. Mention and believe in that which I have revealed. That bears witness to what is with you. And don't be the first of those who disbelieve in it. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And don't trade my ayat for a feeble price. And have taqwa of me. And so Allah Azza wa Jal admonishes them first and foremost. Do not be the first of those who disbelieve in that which I have sent. Do not be the first of the kuffar. Do not be the first of the disbelievers. And Ikhwan, unfortunately, they without doubt were from the first of those who rejected Iman and the Messenger of Allah. Just as they rejected belief in Isa ibn Maryam. Just as they rejected belief in Isa ibn Maryam, then they rejected belief in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal admonishes them in those first initial verses. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not tell me haqq. Don't cover the truth with batil. And hide the truth while you know. And while those verses, brothers and sisters, are an address to Bani Israel directly, they are likewise an address to us. They are likewise an address to us. Allah Azza wa Jalla admonishes them that we may know the characteristics that Allah Azza wa Jalla dislikes. Covering truth with falsehood. Hiding the truth. يعني the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You command people with righteousness and forget yourselves. All of those verses, though they are a command to Bani Israel, they are admonitions, Ikhwan, for us, and there are lessons for us to take heed from. As companions used to say, السعيد من وعد بغيره. السعيد, the one who is in bliss and in happiness, is the one who takes lessons from other than himself. One who is in happiness and successful is the one who takes lessons from other than himself. And so after Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds them of all of the blessings that were upon them, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَدْنِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةً وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. Allah mentioned, and then, fear the day. لَا تَدْنِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. Fear the day when no soul will benefit another soul. Neither will any intercession be taken or accepted on its behalf, on that other soul's behalf. That is no doubt, those who accept those who fall within the permissible types of intercession, that have sunnah believing. وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ. Neither will there be any adl, and the term adl here is a reference to al fida, and that is, there is no the fida is the thing that one ransoms himself with or by way of. Then you will not be able to ransom yourself yawm al-qiyamah. Rather, it all returns back to what a person has carried out and what a person has done. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla continues, وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. Allah mentions, and when we saved you from آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, when we saved you from the people of Fir'aun, يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ, when they punish you with a terrible punishment, يذبحون أبناءكم, they would slaughter your أبناء, your sons, and they would يستحيون نساءكم, any that they left your نساء, many that they took them as bondswomen and as slave girls, and that they had them as servants and maids. وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم عظيم, and in that there was a tremendous بلاء, there was a tremendous trial in that from your Lord. And that, no doubt, was a bala, and it was an adab. And it was a trial upon them, and no doubt, at the same time, Ikhwan, there was a ni'mah in that for them. But it was a trial, and their sabr of their patience, and that which issued from it was, no doubt, a ni'mah. In that regard, we have the statement of Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, who mentioned, وَفِي الَّذِي فَعَلْنَا بِكُمْ مِنْ إِنْ جَاءِنَا إِيَّاكُمْ مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ بَلَاءٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ فَأَيِّ نِعْمَةٌ عَظِيمَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ. That is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that indeed in that, yani when Allah mentioned in that there was a great bala. And the Jarir al-Tabari mentioned that in actuality, the meaning of the verse is that when Allah Azza wa Jal saved you from that which you were in, from the punishment of the family of Fir'aun, from Fir'aun and his people, then that was a bala min rabbikum azim, meaning here, a ni'matun azim alaykum fi dhalika. A ni'matun azim alayka. And that was the statement of many of the Mufassirun. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, ni'matun alaykum, mujahid, bala'un min rabbikum azim, ni'matun min rabbikum azimah. That the Mufassirun, many of them mentioned that the intent behind that, while some hold that it was upon its original meaning, that it was a trial, there are many who know that the meaning of the verse is وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ يعني فِي ذَلِكَ نِعْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. There was a great ni'mah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that know that is a reference to Allah saving them from Fir'aun and not punishment itself. So those who held that word bala, when it was upon its original meaning of trial, when they give the tafsir of the ayah, that what was intended was the bala of the punishment of the people of Fir'aun and the persecution that came from them. So that was a trial. And those who held that it meant a ni'mah, a blessing, they carry the ayah to mean that in Allah saving you from them, yani from the people of Fir'aun, there was a ni'mah azima, yani there was a great ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason, ikhwan, that Fir'aun was punishing the people of Musa and the followers of Musa was on the basis of the fact that Fir'aun received a dream. He had a dream, ikhwan, that caused him great fear. And that was that he saw a fire coming from Bayt al-Maqdis. He saw a fire coming from Bayt al-Maqdis. And it enveloped and entered the houses of the people of Egypt. And it entered the houses of Fir'aun and his people and engulfed their homes. And the interpretation that was given to him was that there was a youth, or that was there was a man from Bani Israel that was to be born that would destroy his kingdom. And on the basis of that, then he began to command that all of the people of people who were affiliated with Musa, often the people of the followers of the book, the Yahud at that time, that they should have their newborn boys killed. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the boy, as the dream was a true dream, that the boy that would destroy his kingdom would be Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that he would be found by the wife of Fir'aun, that he would be taken into the kingdom and the castle of Fir'aun, that he would be brought up and nurtured within the castle, that Allah Azza wa Jal made his mother, that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the mother of Musa rather, to place Musa in the river. She was afraid. Allah Azza wa Jal consoled her and promised her that we shall return him back to you. And verily he did so. Because when the household of Fir'aun found Musa as a baby, as a child, and his wife fell in love with Musa and asked if they could keep him, there was no one that would give or that Musa would accept suckling from. And so the sister of Musa, when she discovered where he was, she said that I know someone that he will accept suckling from. And so she brought her mother, the mother of Musa. And when Musa was in the hands of his mother, he immediately accepted the suckling of his mother. And so Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, Inna raduhu ilayk wa jahiluhu min al-mursaleen. Verily, we are going to return him back to you. And we're going to make him from the mursaleen. We're going to make him from the messengers. So Allah Azza wa Jal caused Musa to grow in the kingdom and within the household of Fir'aun. And it was Musa alayhi salatu wasalam that the dream, ikhwan, was manifest at the hands of. Let me tell you, ikhwan, al-Imam Sadiq, he mentions the affair because of the fact that it has a mention of Nisa. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. And indeed, they slaughtered your children and your boys, and they left your women. And that, no doubt, had in it, because of the fact that women are mentioned within it, Imam Sadiq Hassan Khan, he mentioned the verse because of its relevance to the book. He mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, يذبحون أبناءكم ويستحيون نساءكم الذبح في الأصل الشق وهو فري أو داجي المذبوح. He said الذبح, which is ordinarily translated as slaughtering, in its affluent original meaning, it refers to splitting or tearing something. And the intent here is to cut the jugular veins of the one being slaughtered. Then he goes on to mention a benefit connected to the word nisa. And that is, he mentions, is nisa the jam' of niswa? The Arabic language, a reference to a number of women, is ordinarily made by the term nisa. And the term niswa is also used, and there is yet a third term, niswan. And there are some variations within the language that mention niswan and niswa. So we have nisa, niswa, niswan, niswan, and niswa. And they all refer to a group of women. Any of those terms that they are using in the Arabic language to refer to a group of women. The most popular from them is nisa and niswa. Sadiq Hazal Khan here, he mentioned the benefit, and that is, هل نساء جمع نسوة أو جمع امرأة من حيث المعنى? Is that the word نساء, the plural of نسوة? That is, إخوان, that the term نسوة is used to refer to a number of women, while نساء is considered the plural of niswa by some of the scholars of the language. That nisa is considered the plural of niswa. So niswa refers to a number of women. But if they become plentiful, then they are referred to as nisa. They're referred to as nisa. So he mentioned, is nisa the plural of niswa, or is it the plural of imra'a in terms of its meaning? Imra'a, though it is not a plural on the same linguistic form, and imra'a does not have the same letters as niswa or nisa, but some hold that nisa is the plural of imra'a in terms of its meaning. That imra'a, its plural, is nisa, so it doesn't have the same construction, linguistic construction as imra'a. It's not derived from it, but in meaning, it is the plural of imra'a. And so there are those two positions from the scholars of the lugha and the scholars of the language concerning the meaning of nisa. Some of the scholars hold that niswa is a group of women or is a number of women. If they become plentiful in number, then one refers to them as nisa. Yet another group of scholars hold that nisa is the plural of imra'a. Nisa is the plural of imra'a, but it is a plural that is a plural in meaning, does not have the same construction or the same linguistic construction as imra'a. And so that is a benefit related to the term nisa, because of the fact that it's used in the verse, and because of the fact that no doubt the book revolves around that topic. He said, وَالْمُرَادُ يَتْرُكُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ أَحْيَاءَ لِيَسْتَخْدِمُوهُنَّ وَيَمْتَهِنُوهُنَّ عَبَّرَ عَنِ الْبَنَاتِ بِاسْمِ النِّسَاء لِأَنَّهُ جِنْسٌ يُصَدَّقْ عَلَيْهِمْ. He mentions that indeed the intent behind the verse then is that the women were left alive. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ, that is, the women were left ahya, and the women were left alive, in order to serve them and to be a trial for the women, and in order to be servants of the people of Egypt. And these women, all girls, were referred to as Nisa, because of the fact that they fall under the general bracket of women generally, whether they are young or old. He mentioned, وَلَا يَخْفَى مَا فِي قَتْلِ الْأَبْنَاءِ وَاسْتِحْيَاءِ الْبَنَاتِ الْخِدْمَ وَغَيْرِهَا مِنْ إِنْزَالِ الظُّلِّ بِهِمْ وَإِلْسَاقِ الْإِهَانَةِ الشَّدِيدَ بِجَمِيعِهِمْ. بما في ذلك من العار. He said that indeed there is no doubt, no two people, and it's not hidden from anyone, that which is in killing one's boys, one's males, and leaving the women or the girls alive to serve the people, it is not hidden from anyone what is within that, from humiliation and from from ignominy falling upon all of them. And no doubt there is disgrace in that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, يُشِيرُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. In that there was a tremendous trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you mentioned, this term, وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ, from the Mufassirun, are those who held that it actually meant a ni'ma azima, and that is a reference to them being saved from Fir'aun and his people, and some hold that it remains upon its original meaning, the bala, which is a reference to a trial or a test or tribulation. Now, we move on to the following chapter, Babu ma nazala fi al-ihsani ila al-walidain. That was the chapter concerning what has been revealed concerning being good to one's parents. Mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, and again from Surah Al-Baqarah, as we mentioned, just moving through the Quran and starting with each verse that has a mention of and something related to women. He mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And when we took the ميثاق, or we took the covenant from Bani Israel, that لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ, that they should not worship except Allah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that they should be dutiful to their parents. And that then indicates, ikhwan, that the position that we hold, and that which we have, from the texts that address us directly, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَقَدَ رَبُّكَ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that Allah has decreed that you should not worship except Him, and that you should be dutiful to your parents. And that He mentioned the affair of one's parent directly after the mention of the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah mentions the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, the Tawheed of Allah Subhanahu, and then the mention of one's parents, being dutiful to one's parents. And that, ikhwan, indicates again that it was not just this ummah that has been commanded with that. That the umam, the previous nations, were likewise commanded with the same. And here is an example of that. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. In fact, they took, or they had a covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal. Bani Israel took a covenant and took a vow that they would not worship other than Allah, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and that they would be dutiful to their parents. Secondly, again, indicating the fact that it was not just this ummah, but the umam and the early generation were likewise commanded to be dutiful to their parents. And that will highlight the great station of the parents, ikhwan, within Islam, and likewise within the sunan of the previous prophets and messengers. Imam Siddiqui mentions after the ayah, قال المكي هذا الميثاق أخذه الله عليهم في حياتهم على ألسن أبناء أنبيائهم وبالجملة والجملة خبر بمعنى النهي وهو أبلغ من صريح النهي. He mentioned that indeed the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, al-Makki, and he is Makki ibn Abi Talib al-Andalusi, he mentions that this mithaq, this covenant, Allah Azza wa Jal took it upon them during their lives, upon the tongues of their messengers. That they took the covenant, Allah Azza wa Jal took upon them a covenant, but upon the tongue of their messengers, that they should not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that they should be dutiful to their parents. He said, well, jumla khabrun bima'na nahi. The jumla is a khabar. The jumla is a piece of information, but the meaning of the jumla is a nahi. The meaning of the jumla is a prohibition against doing that. So even though the jumla, or the sentence in and of itself, in terms of its construction, then it is what is known as the khabar, that is the thing that when a person informs or makes يعني a sentence or يعني makes a statement within a sentence, then the sentence or the subject of the sentence is present within the khabar. That is, it is the predicate. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla, though the jumla, although the sentence is one that has this khabar, that it is as though Allah Azza wa Jalla is informing us of what was addressed to them, but it likewise carries the meaning of a prohibition. And here Imam Sadusi mentions that it is ablagh, that it is clearer than an outright prohibition. And it is more profound in meaning than an outright prohibition. Anyway, it is stronger in meaning for me to say, and when I took your covenant from you, Ya Bani Israel, لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا, that you should not worship other than Allah and that you should be dutiful to your parents. The one who hears that khabar, the one who hears that sentence and hears that statement, what he understands from that statement is, number one, that Allah Azza wa Jal was upset with them, that Allah is angry with them, that they had a covenant that was taken with him. Number two, that they had a covenant, that the affair was so serious that Allah Azza wa Jal made them take a covenant upon him. And so that is, in and of itself, when one reflects upon the reality of what is present within that, when one reflects upon the ramifications of the statement, then he understands clearly that the statement is without doubt more profound than for Allah Azza wa Jalla just to say, don't worship other than Allah. Yani the fact that you were informed of the fact that Bani Israel took a covenant, and the fact that you were informed that Allah Azza wa Jalla said that you should be dutiful to your parents, and the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla was rebuking them for that, yani for them not fulfilling what was present within that covenant, all of that, ikhwan, is more profound for the one who hears it and reads it than had he were to read, or were he just to read the statement, don't worship other than Allah. And so, وَأَبْلَغُ مِنْ سَرِيحِ النَّحِي لِمَا فِيهِ مِنْ الْإِعْتِنَابِ شَأْنِ الْمَنْهِ عَنِ, because of what is present, it is clearer, more profound than just a straight prohibition, because of what is in it from the concern that was paid to the thing that is being prohibited. In fact, that Allah, as we mentioned, took a covenant, and other than that. وتأكد طلب امتثاله حتى كأنه امتثل وأخبر عنه. He mentioned, and we have the تأكد, and we have the statement or the thing that is being sought. We have that which affirms the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal seeks for it to be carried out. Allah affirms it with this statement. That is the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the isbat of his tawheed. The ibadah of Allah subhanahu and the establishment of his tawheed and believing in his rusul, wal amalu bima anzalallahu fi kutubi, and acting upon that which Allah has revealed in his books, wal muradu bil ihsan mu'asharati al abawaini bil ma'ruf. Then he goes on to mention that which is related to the statement of Allah wa bil walidaini ihsana, that when Allah Azza wa Jalla took the covenant, the first portion of the covenant was to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, establishing his tawheed, believing in the messengers, and acting upon that which was revealed in the books. Then he mentions al muradu bil ihsan, the intent behind the ihsan here is to live with your parents in good, to be dutiful to them. He mentions what tawabu lahuma, and being humble for them, and in regard to them and towards them. Mentioned wa qitali amrihima, and to carry out their commands. Wa sa'i ma awjabahu Allahu 'ala al-waladi wa liwalidayhi min ash-shuquq. And other than that, from the other forms of wajibat that Allah Azza wa Jalla has placed upon the children towards their parents. وَمِنْهُ الْبِرِّ بِهِمَا, from that being right, dutiful to them. وَالرَّحْمَ لَهُمَا, and being merciful to both of them. وَالنُّصُورِ عِنْدَ أَمْرِهِمَا فِي مَا لَا يُخَالِفُ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ وَأَمْرَ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and that one fulfills and carries out their commands as long as there is no opposition so that Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم have commanded. Mention when you see what they do, ma yahtajan ilay, and that one carries out to them and gives to them that which they have need for, that which they need. ولا يؤذيهما وإن كانا كافرين, and that a person does not harm them even if they are kafirain, even if they are disbelievers. وأن يدعوهما إلى الإيمان بالرفق واللين, and that one calls them to iman with rifq, with gentleness, and with lean, with softness. وَكَذَا إِنْ كَانَا فَاسِقَيْنِ يَأْمُرَهُمَا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مِنْ غَيْرِ عُنْفٍ وَلَا يَقُولُ لَهُمَا أُفْ. He said, likewise, if they are two fasiq, يعني فاسقين, if both of them are fusaq, يعني they're evildoers, Muslim but evildoers, then one enjoins the good with them without being harsh upon them, and one does not say oof to them. And so we have here two scenarios, one of the parent that is Muslim but a fasiq, and the other of the parent that is a kafir. Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded with dutifulness towards both of them, the Muslim and the non-Muslim, that Allah has commanded us to carry out that which they need. And here, Imam Siddiq Hasan Khan mentioned some of the manifestations of how one may be dutiful to his parents. Some of those manifestations is that one is humble towards them, not proud and arrogant, and he's not one that is rude and insolent. Rather, he's humble with his parents, humble, and carries out those adab, those noble characteristics, and he doesn't walk in front of them if he walks. He doesn't speak before them, and he doesn't carry out that mistake that displeases them. وَامْتِثَالِ أَمْرِهِمَا, and to fulfill and to carry out their commands. And that is, ikhwan, that one carries out their commands. But if they say, don't do such and such, as long as it is within the realms of that which is considered ta'a, considered obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, then one carries out those commands. And likewise, he mentioned, and other than that, from being dutiful to them, anything that this term carries by way of meaning, that is dutifulness, being merciful to them, that then necessitates rahma ikhwan with its manifestations. And you should not say, as we hear many people saying, that, well, you know, my mother, she didn't really bring me up, so as far as I'm concerned, she doesn't deserve my duty. My father isn't really there for me, so as far as I'm concerned, no, he doesn't really deserve my obedience. And that is not a condition. The fact that they were there or they were good or bad parents is not a condition for you fulfilling this verse. You know, this is a command from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla did not make it conditional, ikhwan, to them being good, fantastic, upright, noble, righteous parents. It is not a condition in any way. Even if one of the two of those parents, or both of them, are not really present for the upbringing of that child, that child should not turn around in later life and say, well, they weren't really there for me, or they didn't really rear me as a parent, or he wasn't really a father to me, she wasn't really a mother to me. No. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded with dutifulness to one's parents, and that you believe there is something that they need to be commanded with. And if they are kuffar, then no doubt they are called to Islam with wisdom. If they are Muslimain, the both of them are Muslims, but they are wrongdoers or people of innovation, then one calls them and enjoins the good with them with gentleness, with lean, and without any unf, without any harshness, and likewise, one does not say oof to them. And this oof would be like sucking one's teeth to them in our time. And it will make, or totting, or making those sounds, one that necessitate or indicate that one is upset or that one is frustrated by them or by their statements, that one is displeased with something that they have done, that one is tired of carrying out their commands, that one wants to rest, or what have you, and that they're just commanding you with things that are just tiring you out. Yeah, I mean, anything that necessitates any manifestation of insolence, regardless of what that is, among the different peoples of the world, and all of the peoples they have, yeah, I mean, whether it be statements, or it may just be a sound that the mouth makes. As you mentioned, in the Caribbean, it would be like sucking one's teeth, whereas in yani elsewhere, it could be raising your eyes to the sky. Yani, it could be a number of things, Ikhwan. But if that is not done to those who are honorable, if it is not done by the one who is dutiful, if it is a sign of displeasure, if it is a sign of unhappiness or frustration, then it is not done with one's parents. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا. Allah mentions, as occurs in the ayah, in the statement, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِنَّ يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدَهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا فَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا أو قولاً كريمًا. But Allah mentions that if one or two of, or the both of them reach old age with you, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, don't say أُفْ to them. So that is any statement of displeasure one should not say to them. And it is a sin. Don't just look at it, Ikhwan, as something that, yeah, I mean, generally you shouldn't do, but it's not, it is a sin. You are sinful. You've carried out an act that you'll be questioned for your maqiyamah. You've carried out an act that you could possibly be punished for your maqiyamah. So the affair, Ikhwan, is not one that you take lightly. And as we mentioned, it doesn't necessitate that that parent had had to have been there throughout the life of that individual. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he saw a man carrying his mother on his back, making tawaf with her. So instead of getting those pushchairs, the one that are there now, he carried his own mother on his back. Then when he carried his mother upon his back and they finished tawaf, he went over to Ibn Umar and said, Ya Ibn Umar, do you not see, or do you believe, and you not see, that I have fulfilled the rights of my mother upon me? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, not one push from the pushes of her labor. Walakin jazakallahu anil qalili kathiran. So he said, but may Allah Azza wa Jal reward you for the little that you have done with much. And so here, Ikhwan, Ibn Umar, he mentioned, not one push from her pushes. And thus just the difficulties of childbirth alone necessitates, Ikhwan, dutifulness to one's mother, dutifulness to one's parents, even if she only gave birth to you, and then you never saw her again until later life. She still has those rights upon you. And one father still has those rights upon you. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He blesses us, Ikhwan, to fulfill that which is upon us by way of the hukuk and the rights that are due to others, and at the head of them, Ikhwan, from among the human beings, rights that are due to our parents. That we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carry out that duty in a manner that pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآخِرِ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ مُتَبَعْ مَوْتِ جزاكم الله خيرا.